prayers. Can you say amen?
Amen.
If you increase your prayers for me, I will pray for you. Thank you for that. Increase your prayers. I want to say a thank you for your gifts, just your thoughts and your prayers and your gifts during Christmas. They mean a lot to us. And so this morning, I'd like for us to do a couple of things. One, let's get ready to give to the Lord. Can you say amen? For many of us, this may be our last, it may be, unless you come Wednesday, your last giving for the year. So if you're behind in your taxes, this is the time to take care of it. Hallelujah. Thank you for your giving. Hey, you that are watching online, don't forget the work of the Lord here at New Beginnings. You know how to do it online. Thank you so much for that. So let's get ready for our giving. Brother Harvey is going to put my announcement up there. Wednesday is New Year's Eve. We're going to party hardy, but not like the way we used to. You know what we used to do way back in the day, like in the 80s, some in the 90s? We would have church service. Like it started like at 9 o'clock, right, Brother Gino, 10 o'clock. We have service. We would eat. Then we would go bowling. Or then we would rent the YMCA all the way until 6 o'clock in the morning. And then we would have breakfast. And then we would go to bed, wake up the next 2 days. So we're going to pray the New Year's in on Wednesday from 6 to 7. Amen. So come on out. It's testimony night. So I'm expecting a lot of you to give your testimony that night. See me to make sure we have it in order and in place for testimony night. We'll pray the New Year's in, and we'll just say thank you, Jesus, for 2025, and welcome 2026. Amen? So please see me that you want to give your testimony. There's the outline for that testimony on that night. Thank you again for all of your giving unto the Lord. Before the ushers come, would you turn your Bibles to the book of Judges? It's an Old Testament book. I want you to turn there, and I want to say thank you to all of you for your giving of your time, your talent, and your finances. Blessings to you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for those who are watching online as they give to your work, and they don't forget the blessings that come from you, from this great work here at New Beginnings. Thank you for everyone here today, God, that also give their time and their service and their giving to you, Lord. Bless them greatly as you have in 2025. We pray this prayer today in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Thank you, everyone, for your giving. Book of Judges. It's a very powerful book. It is a time and a season where the children of God, the believers, followers of the Lord Jehovah God, just like us, we're followers. They just crossed over into the promised land. Joshua, victorious, conquered, were winners, overcomers. They stood on the word of God. They planted great. They were rejoicing because of victory. Somebody say victory. God gave you a lot of victories in 2025. There are some victories you left out there. Doesn't mean that victory cannot come in this next year that is coming. And then here comes the blessings. And what they did is they took their eyes off God. And many of God's people in 2025 took their eyes off of God. The scripture is so clear. There's a bunch of judges. But the last chapter, last verse says, there was no king. In other words, there was no leadership. There was no guidance. Everybody did what they wanted to do in their own sight, what they thought was good for them. We live in a time where the struggles and the difficulties is, do we stay committed? Do we keep growing? Or are we happy of the progress that we have made? All I can say to that is, be careful. It's dangerous to say that you have arrived. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of planning. There's a lot of growth. There's a lot of people that need Jesus. And so this great book of Judges speaks about a young man that kind of reminds us of the church today. His name was Gideon. You can read about Gideon in chapter 6, 7, and 8. Let's go to the sixth chapter of the book of Judges. I felt strongly to share with you, I think, our vision for 2026, at least for the first 3 months. If we can get a head start and if we can build a great foundation, I think it'll take us into the areas that we've been wanting to experience with the Lord, but for whatever reason, we didn't. That vision and that dream that the Lord has given you in 2025, many of them were fulfilled, but some of them, they just kind of didn't make the progress that it needed. There were some victories, amen, in 2025. There were some challenges in 2025. And so probably it'll be the same for 2026. We're going to have a lot of victories, but there's going to be a lot of challenges. But I think we can do this if we lay a good foundation. Amen. If you have been reading Matthew 5, 6, and 7, if you have been doing that in your devotion, in your time with the Lord, it's said in there that your fasting is between you and the Lord and that you should spend some time in fasting. If you're not familiar with fasting, talk to someone that has a consistent lifestyle of fasting before the Lord and to the Lord. For years here at New Beginnings, we use the Daniel fast. How many of you are familiar with the Daniel fast? The Daniel fast is you go to Daniel, the book of Daniel, and there was battles. Somebody say battles. There were warfares. There were times where there had to overcome, but they could not until they fasted and they went before the Lord. So Daniel had a 10-day fast and had a 21-day fast. If you're not familiar with the Daniel fast, Google it, and it'll tell you what the fast looks like. It's powerful. I believe that we should put a lot of stock into getting better, getting healthier, mind, emotion, body. And the fast will help us. I do say this for the sake of anybody coming back to blame me for their fast, is make sure you consult your doctor if you're going to fast because of some of the things that you might have to deal with when it comes to medicine. Can you say amen to that? Somebody say peace. Robbing us of our peace. Either it happened deliberately or it just happened, but our peace is so essential. There's a constant battle going on when it comes down to our peace. And I believe that Gideon will help us take a look at where we are as a church. If you read verse 1 of Judges chapter 6, it tells us the condition they were in. It kind of helps us understand the condition where the church can be. We can experience more victories, and we can be an overcomer, more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. So this condition happened because they took their eyes off Jesus. Now look at me for a moment. So the fasting in the beginning will make sure that our eyes are back on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? And so making sure that we understand how precious and how powerful our shield of faith is. Shield of faith. Why is that essential? Why is that important that you know why the shield of faith is powerful when you use it correctly? Because the Bible says that the enemy uses fiery darts to come against our faith. So we have a shield, we have a protection, and we got to use it for the glory of God, for the power of God. That shield of faith quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. Quenches. That means that when it's headed your way, before it gets there, it has no power. It has no ability. It has no territory. It has no authority. It can't touch you because you use your faith in God and your faith in the Word of God. And so when you learn to clothe yourself with the peace of God, then we'll understand why 2026 has to start off correctly. Let's start with the right foot. Now, I'm just encouraging you. You can, however you're comfortable, do a fast. Talk to somebody. What's a good fast? And that fast is where you learn to, the song was just so powerful this morning, where you learn to empty yourself and be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? So Gideon, what he does is he helps us take a look at where we are. It may be good or bad or a difference, but at least we know where we're at. Amen? Decisions have to be made. How do we conquer? How do we win? How do we overcome? How do we see that happen in our lives? Whatever that may be, because in verse 1, it said very clearly the condition of the Israelites. And it may be the condition of the church. I will not try to hurt the church. I will not try to look down at the church. The church has done great work. Can you say amen? And the church will do great work despite our shortcomings, despite our flaws, because the grace of God and the mercy of God is more powerful than anything. The church is not perfect, but the one we serve is perfect. And we will continue to be more like Jesus. And by the way, when I'm done with Gideon, take a couple of Sundays to really help us lay a foundation for what's coming. Do we believe? Do we believe that these days could be the end time days? Do we really believe that the time is short? There's not a lot of time left. Man, if we have 10 years, that's a lot. But I'm not here to be a dooms preacher. I'm not here to try to scare you into Jesus. I'm not here to try to, you know, get into the mission work of the Lord. You're already doing great work, but we need to continue to do this great work that God has in store for us. Amen. Amen. So I just want to take a few thoughts, a few presentations to look at Gideon, because Gideon reminds me of the church of today. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, as we dive in, as we look at your word, as we look at what you're trying to say to us, what you are saying to us, we want to hear your voice. And how do we do that? Why is it important that we hear your voice? Because your voice gives us guidance and gives us comfort and gives us direction and helps us understand plan and help us understand the commission that you have put before us. We are your people. We are your church. We are the ones that are called out. We are the ones that you want to use in these times, Lord God. And Father, I do pray in the name of Jesus for all of those who have called unto the prayer chain in the name of Jesus. Can you all lift your right hand together with me as we pray for those who are on the prayer chain from accidents to hospital to death to sickness. Father, we first and foremost, may they experience your peace. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you still answer prayer. Can you get that right hand and put it over your heart this morning? I pray that the vision that you have for everyone here this morning would be just showing so beautiful and so powerful that their health is a must. It is a priority because we believe in prevention. We believe in it's better to be safe than sorry, that we would begin to take care of this temple like no other. We're going to get into a health kick, Lord God, because you want to use us strongly. And Father God, I just feel so strongly that they would get a revelation, hallelujah, how to receive this peace that comes from you, not a peace that is the outside of themselves, a peace that will clothe them and know that you have them, that you'll never leave them, and that you'll never forsake them, that you'll be there for them. You are always there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say amen. Knowing that this peace is from the Lord. And God, we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. So the condition of the church is found in verse 1. If you look at verse 10, of Judges chapter 6, the angel that came to Gideon, I say to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites. Look over here for a moment. This is important because there's a lot of fear going on. Listen. There is a lot of fear going on. It's probably one of your biggest, ugliest enemy, because fear says this: what if, 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 what if that, what if, and that puts fear and worry inside our minds. Remember, and I want you to get this. If when you leave today, I want to make sure you got this. This is why it's important that you get a revelation from God. God, why is my shield of faith so important in these days, in these last days? Because you're not going to be parading your Christian faith. You're going to be in the trenches. You're going to learn and understand what oppression is. You cannot, listen, you cannot do therapy on oppression. You got to rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord rebukes you, because what happens when fear is there, it opens the door to oppression, and then there's a different battle going on. But fear says, what if, but faith says, even if it is, I'm putting my all this in the hands of the Lord. And when I put it in the hands of the Lord, I begin to see the hand of God in every situation of my life. I begin to see God do the miracle that he said he was going to do, because we are preparing. We are getting ready. And I wish that we can just go in there and say, hey, let's just start the way we are. Listen, I don't think that's good counsel. I mean, we've come this far. Some of us just like, oh, I barely made it. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Christmas is over. We're going to have to go into a new season. Somebody say new season. We're going to have to go to a new season. Because what you did in 2025, amen, glory to God, it was for the glory of God, amen. He's got a new work, a new vision, a new revelation in 2026. And I think that Gideon will help us understand this, because Gideon reminds us where the church is. Because you got to remember that Gideon was hiding from the enemy. Listen, he was hiding from the enemy. Gideon was hiding from the enemy. People say, I want a new word from God, and I want God to say something to me amazing. And it says, you know, that is a good insight, what you want. But I'm just going to warn you this morning. All God's going to do is tell you what he's already put in the Word of God. Somebody smile with me. All he's going to do, first and foremost, he's just going to remind you who you are in Christ Jesus. You may be hiding under the wine press. You may be going through what you're going through, whatever that may be, whatever challenges or whatever that may be taking place in your life. But bottom line, all God is going to do is tell you what he already put in the Word of God. Amen. You mean he doesn't give revelation? Yeah, he does. But he does it individually, because that's how much he loves you. He's willing to talk to you, because this verse right here in verse 10, it says, and he said, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites, whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. And in verse 11, it tells us where Gideon's at. It may even say where the church is at. We can get faster, amen? We can get stronger, amen? There's room for improvement. We can do that. But look where he finds him. In order to hide from the enemy, he's hiding. Listen, remember what I told you? Watch what the angel of God, what God said to Gideon. Listen, he's not going to take you to the left or to the right. He's going to take you right to the Word of God. And the angel of the Lord said this to Gideon. He said in verse 12, he said, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you. Amen. Man of valor. Look, Soak that in. He's hiding, but God's telling him who he is. I looked at that word valor, okay, but it connected with me, to me, with something that we leave out, and that he is a man of great courage, or a person of great courage. He's not bestowing that great courage. He's bestowing what? What fear is saying? The enemy's too big. I can't conquer. I can live with this. Listen. The process of elimination will happen when we learn to do what the scripture says, and that is put ourselves in the position to see what kind of wonderful work God will do in our lives. Amen? Listen. So if I have a title to this word, and again, let me spend a couple of Sundays, because before I leave, I just want to touch a little bit about the weapons of our warfare. So this courage is courage in the midst of battles. We are in some battles, aren't we? Some of us are really open about it. Others, like, we don't want to know anybody to know we're in the battle. But if you're a Christian, you're always in the battle. Why? Because the enemy has fiery darts always going your way, and you can let it hit your brain or your emotion or your body, or you can let those fiery darts hit your faith. Amen? And so I just feel strongly this morning that if I would give it a title, it would be something like this: how to determine God's will. Why do we want to fast? Why do we want to submit? Why do we want to surrender? Why does God want to say to me, I'm a person of valor? Why? Because we can be in the will of God. Now, isn't that the ultimate goal? Is that we would be in the will of God? Wouldn't it be a great testimony, I'm walking in the will of God? Amen? And so I would probably title that, because it speaks about decision making. And so Christians do believe that they should carefully obey God's will. But how can we know what it is? How do we know what the will of God is? Because if we begin to submit ourselves to the Lord through prayer and fasting and just connecting and being alone and just knowing, oh, okay, that's not of God. That's not of God. Hey, that's in my life, but that's not of God. This is of God. Hey, this is God. And so once we know that is God, so then our faith gets to move into action, because faith says, even though I have no control of this, I'm going to put it in the hands of God. So two views. You have to get a picture of what you are control of and what you're not control of. Think about it for a moment. Look at all the worry we do of the areas that we have no control of. It gets us sick. It keeps the eyes off Jesus. And so this is why I think this morning we should be able to go and make these great decisions so that we can honor the Lord. And when we honor the Lord, okay, this is why I believe that Gideon is a great example of a model of godly decision making. Now listen, once we make that decision, now we need to act on it. You know these New Year's resolutions that come? I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. If you don't do it in the first month, you're not going to do it at all. I even got a membership on January a couple years ago. Hallelujah, glory to God. I was going to go swimming and work out and do all that stuff. Well, 2 years passed by and nada. But guess what I had to do every month? Oh, I had a little thing that says, I'm a member. I'm a member, but that's as far as we don't want to just be members of New Beginnings. We want to make a difference while we're here at New Beginnings. So it's not something you haven't heard or you haven't. In 2025, I don't know how many times we've heard that, but for some reason, this one feels different because I think once we can identify our weapons of warfare, say it with me, weapons of warfare, because you are in a war, you are in a battle, you got to have the right weapons to fight the right battle. You got to have the right tools. You got to have the right stuff. You got to have the right tools. Come on, somebody say amen. Got to have the right tools. And I honestly, I wish that this and that and this, that would attract people. If the word of God doesn't attract people, I don't think we need people. We need followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll draw them. We did much growth in 2025, believe me, in every area. Somebody say amen. In every area, somebody say amen. In every area, we did great work. Don't be content. You did great work. Amen. We did great work. But man, here comes 2026. Amen. Here it comes. Just around the corner. Amen. Listen, I just let me close with this, because if you want to know more about Gideon, read chapter 6, 7, and 8. That's really all you hear about Gideon. But what I love about Gideon is that he always wants a sign and a confirmation. Let me tell you this right now. There's nothing wrong with that. Everybody wants assurance. Is this the right decision? Is this the right move? Is this the right thing to do? We've even questioned it, right? We've consulted and asked people, what do you guys think about this and that? You know, and a lot of times, God has already told you what you've got to do. You can smile at me. You already know what to do. Even scripture says that a prophet, don't have a name of the prophet, he sent a prophet to them to tell them what God has done. And it's a beautiful thing. He says, man, you know what I did? I took you out of Egypt. Amen? I delivered you. I set you free. And for whatever reason, you went back to your bondage. You went back to your doubt. You went back to your worries. But I've already shown you in the Word what you got to do. But let me just briefly give you the weapons of your warfare. And I'll go into details in the next couple of Sundays, how we got there. But know the difference between signs, okay, and confirmation. God, how many times you said, God, if you just give me a sign, he'll confirm, he'll tell you over and over and over, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. Over and over and over and over. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. Tell me if that's not powerful. Know the difference, because Gideon, even though an angel came and says, you're a man of valor, even a prophet came and said, you know, he delivered you out of Egypt, and he went back to the word of God. He's not going to give you a new revelation. He's just going to take you right back to the word of God. And he said, man, I've already delivered you in the name of Jesus Christ. And he still wanted a sign. God, what one more thing. If you only put dew in the middle of that little fleece, oh, and then maybe the next time you just put dew around the fleece. And so he just wanted assurance. And that's what fasting and going to the Lord is going to do, is going to give you that assurance that you're doing the right things in the things of the Lord. So Gideon had to get himself in order to get the confidence, to get the will of God, to go fight the enemy that he already said you're going to defeat them, but he didn't know how. But let me give you just briefly what your weapons of warfare. Now, look over here for a moment. It's all in Gideon's chapter 6, 7, and 8, but I'm just going to tell you. So he's ready for war. Say he's ready for war. He's ready for war, and he's got 32,000 on his side, and he's going to go against the Midianites, who the scripture says that they could not even number. There's probably 10 times more than what Gideon had. And I'll show you. It's just amazing, the word of the Lord, how precious and how powerful this is. And so we see that he says, anybody who is fearful, okay, this morning, he says, anybody that's fearful, you guys all go home. $22,000 left. Left them with $10,000. Then he tested them one more time. Somebody say test. Listen, how many of you don't like tests? I don't like tests. Freak out. I know the answer, but I put the wrong answer down. Somebody say test. Gideon tested them. He says, those who go to the river and drink water, everyone that just goes down there and just drinks the water, no matter what's going on around them, nothing's going on, they're just focused on their stuff. Versus the ones that were drinking water, but they were still watching and ready and alert, giving no room to the enemy. It says, all those who do that stay. And all them that stayed were 300. They're going to go battle the... We'll go into details, but I want to get to the place of your weapons of warfare. So he went to war with 300. Greater is he that is in you than he that is out there. Once you know who you are through prayer and fasting and the study of the word, and you embrace it and clothe yourself with that peace and clothe yourself with that powerful weapon. It's powerful. And so it brings me to the place where they're ready for battle. Amen. Look at verse 18. Of Judges 7. I just want to identify your weapons of warfare, and then I'll go more deeper as we go on. But I just want you to leave encouraged. I want you to leave strengthened. I want you to leave knowing there's hope. I want you to know that there's a great work that is going to continue to happen. But we see here very clearly what he did. And there's more in between that. But in verse 16, he said, then he divided the 300 men and the three companies, and he put a trumpet. So if you want to know the weapons of your warfare, your first weapon is a trumpet. Okay? Got it? Then he says, every man's hand, empty pitcher, an empty pitcher, okay, and torches inside the pitchers. And then verse 18 says, when you're ready, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Well, we're going to change Gideon there and put the sword of the Lord and new beginnings. We got to do this as new beginnings. There's no lone rangers. There's no one better than the other. We're all in the same game. We all have the same calling, just different work in the calling. Just do your part. Be faithful in your part. And when you're faithful, God does the increase. God does the promotion. Somebody say amen. I wanted you to identify your weapons of warfare. Why does people blow a trumpet as Kelly comes? Get ready for communion this morning. I want you to leave today at least identifying your weapons of warfare. In other words, this is how you're going to battle. This is how you're going to battle. This is how you're going to battle. There's not 100 different ways. All of us must have a trump. It's a symbol. You got that so far, right? It's a symbol. But what does a trumpet signify? Trumpet. A pitcher. An empty pitcher. What does that symbolize? What is that? Is a symbol of. And a torch. What does that symbolize? And once you know what your weapons of warfare are, can I just say it this way? It's not the Christian way of saying it. It's on. Can you imagine if the 300 people, the 400 people that say New Beginnings is their home, and they band together, and they all get their trumpet, and they all get their empty pitcher, and they all get their torch, a flame of fire, and they use it for the glory of God, and to use it to say that that's what New Beginnings stands for. That's who they are. They know they're in the battle, but they already know that they win because they know they're people of valor, people of courage in battle. They know that overcomers, they're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord. They know that. And if you're here this morning and you don't know all of that, stick around. Get around people that understand what a trumpet is, what an empty pitcher is, and what a torch is. And just to kind of give you, anytime you blow a trumpet, they're wanting to make a message. And so your declaration and who you declare who you are is so vital and so important. You've got to announce it to the world that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you imagine getting 300 people that say it with confidence and assurance that that's who they are in Christ Jesus? Because he's not going to give you a new revelation. He's just going to take you right back to the Word of God. That's why all you wonderful people who are in Bible school, you guys are amazing. You guys it's going to be powerful. Keep going to Bible school. You say, well, Pastor, when does the next one start? You got to wait until September. But get ready. What is a broken pitcher symbolizes? You've got to come broken before God. You can't come puffed up and you can't come say, I got it to you. You got to come broken. You got to come ready. God, do what you've got to do in my life. There are some things in my life that I got to get rid of. That's why people are having a hard time reading Matthew 6, 5, 6, and 7, because it introduces you to a new standard, a new way of doing things, and we're afraid to change, but change is an inside job. And what does this torch of flame represent, a weapon of warfare? All of us going to have to get baptized in the Holy Spirit with fire in the name of Jesus. We're going to have to be on fire for the Lord, because the Lord is first in our life, and the kingdom of God will seek the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and everything will be added unto you. We can't. There's no more in between, man. He says, I want you, I either you be hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm, because I can tell you what the Greek word says about lukewarm. It's not a pretty word. Let's get on fire. We know what it is to be cold. We know what it is to be lukewarm. But to be on fire, whoo! How does all that happen? I think you and the Lord have the come to Jesus meeting, and you say, all right, Lord, what is my fast going to look like? Because we're going to have to get healthy. God, how do I receive this peace from you and make sure that nobody robs me from my peace? Nobody's that powerful to rob you from your peace. That peace comes from God. Amen? Can you put your hands together? Say, thank you, Jesus. I'll go more into details, but I just want to introduce you to the challenges of 2026. I think it'll be amazing and powerful. Those who are watching online, we'll take communion together this morning. God does not want to leave anybody out. I know there's a lot of challenges, a lot of fear, a lot of decision making needs to happen.